Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game. It's right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
This is what?
You laid out like how John Lynch can kind of set the tone at times for the Niners.
Yeah.
Hall of Fame safety. Every football player, whether you watched him play or not, has respect for John Lynch because of what he did on the football field.
There's an inherent credibility.
Yes. And it's the same thing for Buster. Whether you are a Giants fan growing up, or not, whether you watched a lot of Buster, you know Buster Posey is one of the greatest catchers of his generation. And if it wasn't for Yadier Molina, he would be the greatest catcher of his generation. And still probably, I mean, you could say he had a better career than Yadier. Yadier is defensive genius and all that and had a longer career. Point is, amazing, amazing catcher, and he has that cachet, that level of gravity. And Buster Posey also makes these decisions from a point of humility and emotion and respectful to emotions, as we laid out earlier. But it also comes from a spot of, I've been there and I've done that. I know what it takes to win. And if you're Farhan Zaidi trying to, like, I would say it would be impossible for Farhan, just because of who he is, not necessarily be for any, like, character trait flaw, just because of who he is as not a baseball player, it's a lot more difficult for Farhan to fire up an organization, to fire up a clubhouse by making a move that, but like, if Farhan made the move that Buster just made, I don't know if it has anywhere near the impact that Buster making the move has.
I don't know if you've ever heard a lot of the baseball players talk about this over the years, or any front office executives, but there is, in baseball, more than maybe other sports, it's them up there, and they'll point, okay, to like the owner's suite, the GM suite, versus us down here in the clubhouse. And there's always felt like a distinct
divide.
Yes. Yeah. I do think that having Buster Posey be the guy, like, no, I've literally been in the trenches in here, and I get that matters.
I still kind of feel like I am in the trenches.
Uh-huh.
I want this bad.
And a lot of you kind of know me from being in these trenches or seeing me across the diamond. So I do believe that this is totally different. You're 100% correct. There's the other element, Mark, that this is just how I view sports. Now, your head coach in any sport and your GM, whoever's going to be front-facing, I'm not saying they have to be the greatest in front of a microphone. That's not what I'm saying. Because ultimately, if you win, it will dilute any issues that I have with you in terms of interviews and all that. But it is a part of the job. It is a part of it. And I think how you present yourself to the public is extremely important. How you field, you know, questions. Now, you got to get the roster decisions right. You know what I mean? And there's no doubt. Like, that goes without saying.
It's also like having personal, private, one-on-one conversations.
Exactly.
Not in front of the public, but,
no
like,
doubt.
With your players.
I referenced Cora yesterday, the manager for Boston.
Yeah.
And the thing that blew me away was how he dealt with his roster. The interpersonal relationships. And then they had the GM from Boston, and he was a little more down to earth than maybe you think. When I watched Hard Knocks, for example, the poor guy that was running the New York Giants, right? Seemed like a really nice guy. He also seemed a little almost shy and like, I want to be your friend. And I don't think he's cutthroat enough, right? Like, he can go too far in the other direction.
Yeah.
And so part of all of the job now isn't just, are you making good roster decisions and is your team winning? It's also how you say things, how you conduct yourself, how you manage the relationships on the roster. We can't discuss Steve Kerr without discussing how he communicates with his players. We can't discuss Bob Myers without discussing how great he is in terms of the relationships,
yeah.
Right? Of course, having the right roster decisions and putting together a winning team, those are the things he's ultimately going to be judged by. But these other things matter too. And how the media views you gives you leeway. And I feel like Farhan did himself no favors. He just wasn't great in front of a camera. He wasn't great in front of a microphone. Like, that's, those are real. Now, Belichick wasn't either. But he won at such a prolific rate, it didn't matter until the end. And then
everyone starts getting upset because you're not winning. You're not keeping people happy that way. And then you're a stickler in every interview. And then people start turning on you.
Do you get where I'm going with this?
Yeah. No, I do. There's, I mean, it's how... Not how you treat people, but it's just as simple as the way that you talk to people.
Emotional intelligence is a word that I'll use. And what I mean by that, like a phrase, is like how you deal with people. And there are certain situations, socially, someone can come off awkward. Like Kyle Shanahan is a great X's and O's coach, clearly. I think at times at the podium, he comes off so... Not aloof, just like unaware. Like, why can't you just
be normal?
Yeah, exactly. And that's where I think he gets shield or cover from how gracious and how, you know, good John Lynch is in front of a camera, right? And they are a great tandem together. And I feel like Buster Posey is a great person to have as a front-facing individual because of the credibility, the likeness, his ability to know what it's like to have 50 microphones in his mouth, in his face, every single day, right? I think he's kind of prepared for this job.
Yeah, and his partner in the front office, general manager Zach Manassian, is joining us at 8:30, so in an hour and a half or so right here on the Morning Roast of 95.7 The Game. Yeah, what's up?
The other element is that when you're running a team for the first time, and I heard someone discuss this with Robert Saleh on a different podcast before, and Robert Saleh is talking about how now when he comes back to the Niners, he views Kyle Shanahan's job way different because he has more empathy for, it's different when I'm just doing this little job over here, running the defense. It's entirely different when I'm the head honcho and one of the players comes to me and says, hey, my mother-in-law's going to die. My kid's struggling in school and we need to find a tutor or whatever. And these players are coming to you with stuff that you hadn't even fathomed. Okay. That's where being a well-rounded individual away from the game, we don't even know about all the things these guys are dealing with, you know, outside of sports. And, you know, I think that there's more to the job than meets the eye. And I look at someone like Buster and he seems to be a well-rounded and you said down to earth or normal person. That's underrated, I feel like, in the sports world right now.
How much do you trust Buster, whether it's going to happen this year, next year, 2 years from now, how much do you trust Buster to do the job and to do the job well and return the Giants to, like, national prominence? Because I don't know if it's right, and I'd have to really, really search my emotions for me to say that my belief had waned the last couple of weeks. I think that feels like a little reactionary to just some offensive struggles, but I definitely have more belief in Buster than I think I ever had in Farhan. And a lot of it comes down to what you're talking about. Like, they're just like the way that he connects with people, whether it is people outside the organization or his players and his coaches and his manager and his GM and his ownership, right? And there's a certain gravity that comes with it. But I think it really hammered home for me yesterday what Buster did and what Buster said. I have the utmost faith that maybe it's not going to happen this year, Shasky. Like, maybe a trade does not present itself, and that's a reality of what could come true. But I have an incredible amount of belief that Buster Posey is going to be the guy that's going to deliver this franchise, maybe not another World Series, but to consistent national relevance once again.
There is no position that makes you a lock for, like, a great manager or a great GM. But that being said, the great catchers... on even the borderline, you know, catchers, like a Bruce Bochy was a catcher. You know, Mike Matheny was a catcher. And these are guys that have won championships that are good managers in my Buster being one. I think that people don't understand the amount of thought that goes into how you are going to work a lineup, how my pitching staff is going to attack someone, how I've been scouting the other team, not just a little bit, every day of my baseball career for a decade, like he has been doing a kind of scouting job and strategy job every single day for the last decade at the big league level. Now, does that mean that he understands how to view talent? Because there's a lot of guys that are great X's and O's that can't pick talent, right? They're just, that's a different thing. But that's why you have a Zach Manasian. That's why you've got a scouting department. And I think he's got enough wherewithal to know what he's good at and what he's not. But I'm talking about like strategy and thinking and how to assemble a team and what works. And then, you know, what are our weaknesses today? He has been doing that job in that Giants clubhouse for close to 15 years.
That's all, I agree. And that's all well and good. I also think for me, my confidence or my belief in Buster is like a larger perspective. Like you zoom out a little bit. And I don't mean this to be like just compare Buster to Farhan and why Buster is better at this, this, and this. But there is, I think, also a stark difference in the relationship Buster has, one, with the city of San Francisco.
Sure.
And two, with ownership and just the organization in general. Farhan came in here as an unknown from the Dodgers, right?
And he said goodbye to Bruce Bochy.
And he said bye to Bochy.
I mean, that's part of it.
Yeah, and Posey came in as one of the greatest Giants of all time.
Absolutely.
Who stepped in, and the Giants immediately started winning World Series. And as you laid out, maybe the most important position on the diamond.
He's more beloved by all, this is going to sound insane, than Barry Bonds. Because there are Giants fans that didn't like Barry Bonds. Nobody doesn't. Like every
the Q rating for Buster is better than it is.
He's not a better player, but he's more beloved overall. There's no question about it.
And the pride that he has in the city. I mean, he said this at his introductory press conference. San Francisco, what? I mean, he returned from his home after he had moved away and felt like he was never going to come back because he loved San Francisco and the Giants so much. Here's Buster in his intro presser.
This is a baseball town. This city wants great players. It wants great teams. And I was lucky to be a part of some of those great teams alongside great players. And all is well in the world when the Giants are playing good baseball on that field.
He wants this team to be that for this city once again. And the other half of this, Shasky, what gives me confidence for Buster, it is he has that cachet with the organization. I feel like he's willing to go out on a limb and to take a risk, whether it is part with three or four prospects and bring in somebody big, knowing full well it might not work out for you, because he doesn't care about, he doesn't have worries about job security. While I feel like in the back of Farhan's mind, every trade deadline it was, if I make this deal, if I trade Kyle Harrison and he turns out to be the next Zach Wheeler in a year or two, I'm out of a job. I don't think Buster's worrying about that at all.
Well, when you have that cachet, you have that equity, you are able to be more bold. I mean, I think of John Elway, you know, running the Denver Broncos. Like, John Elway, the greatest Bronco of all time, running the Broncos. He can almost do no wrong, right?
Yeah.
And so, yeah, there's no doubt about it. Like, you're able to take bigger swings. I just viewed the whole Farhan existence as very risk-averse. The riskiest thing he did was run Bruce Bochy out of town. Right?
Yeah, and it was one of the first things that he did.
Which is a horrible way to endear yourself to a fan base that beloved someone the way that they beloved and loved Bruce Bochy.
Yeah.
Correct?
No doubt. Buster Posey made a couple of tough decisions yesterday. The Giants, they bounced back and they win 6-5. Was a spark created by Buster. Elliot Ramos, hit of the year, win of the year for the Giants. And as a reminder, again, we got general manager Zach Manasian coming up at 8:30 right here on 95.7 The Game. Also tonight, coming up at 7 o'clock, the Valkyries take on the Phoenix Mercury, and you can hear the game on 95.7 The Game and the Valkyries channel on the Odyssey app. Kevin Dana and Sophia Jones will have the call, and you can watch the games on KPIX+. Pregame starts at 6:30. What's coming up on the game is brought to you by Fremont Bank, here for you, here for good. We will keep reacting to this Giants win. Plus, what do you think we should ask general manager Zach Manasian about? We can take your calls and your texts on that as well as we react to this Giants win 6-5 over the Padres. The offense finally got going. We're back with more after this. It's the Morning Roast. Shasky, I'm Grandy in for Spadoni, back with more next on 95.7.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Win the game. Giants lose that game without him.
Unbelievable. I'm looking at his little profile here because, you know, they made the move yesterday and none of us knew who he was.
No, yeah.
And then you do a little digging, like, oh, he's from Vallejo. And what high school, Sam? I know you did the
Jesse Bethel High in the Vallejo area.
So anybody who knows him from Jesse Bethel High, whether the coach, whether it's the athletic director, call us. Let us know. The guy had multiple rips. Obviously, the seal you reference, the play of the night defensively.
Kipe saying shades of Gregor Blanco.
I mean, like, that was for a perfect game. Yeah. I mean, not to get to, but that, I think it goes to show you, Kipe saying it shows how big that game was against the Padres.
In that moment, specifically.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. And they needed that so
that was
bad.
Ninth inning, runner on first, nobody out.
I also think where he caught it from being the right fielder in that particular spot, you know, you don't see a lot of guys make that play. Tatis made a similar play, not as good, going in that direction toward Triple's Alley.
And that's a Gold Glover.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And so, I mean, for a first night debut, could do a hell of a lot worse. I mean, Lindy Waters is jealous of the immediate impact that he made. I know you'd get a laugh out of that.
Lindy Waters.
Hey, he was good early.
He was good early. There's no doubt.
And then, you know, the glass slipper turned into a pumpkin.
Do you buy that what Buster did yesterday and what he said, what the decisions he made and what he said, like, lit a fire under the team?
It's
like,
go time. He's right. This is not the first month of the season. We are past Memorial Day. We are getting close. I'm seeing All-Star ballots out. You know what that means? That means we're a chunky way through the season, and this is who you are. And unless you want to make some, like, seismic shifts, it is go time. He's 100% correct. And what does that mean? What does go time mean? Play better? Make a trade? Bring on Bryce Eldridge? What does it mean?
Well, let's listen to Buster again. Here is what you're talking about. When asked yesterday pregame, what's the message you're sending to the team by designating Lamont Wade Jr. and company for assignment? Here's Buster.
Yeah, I mean, it's it's time to go. I mean, I think we all believe that we're better than what we've been with the bats the last 2.5-3 weeks, and it's time to go.
I love it. It's just so, it's so brief and so spot on. It is time to go. And I think he's talking to the veteran guys. I think he's talking to the young guys. I think he's talking to some of the high-priced players. And I think he's talking to the fans. Like, it's time to go. We know. We're as frustrated as you are. I think there's layers to that bad boy. Like, what do the fans think? 888-957-9570. What does it's time to go mean? What do you think it means?
I think it means we got to stop messing around. You got to start playing better baseball, because so much of, like, what the way that baseball works is you can't really make a trade. It's difficult to make a trade now. Like, the market is the market, and you kind of just need a deadline to kind of spur action. And then the question becomes, all right, well, how is this team going to survive offensively until a trade becomes realistically possible? It is, you need everybody on the team to start playing better. It's early June. The season is far from over. But if you keep struggling, you don't get your head out of your you-know-what and start playing better, by the time the trade deadline comes around, we might make a decision that this is a team that's not worth investing in because you guys haven't played well enough.
That would be
a disaster.
Be really heartbreaking. I think that it's the first time I've felt sense of urgency from the front office in a long time. You know, like, whenever you try to pin him down, like, Dave Fleming comes on here every week, and whenever you try to pin down, you know, the organization, you don't get anyone who is a part of the front office saying, like, yeah, we need to start winning right now. It was always like, oh, we're going to try to make the playoffs, and when we think we're really good, and, you know, we're going to see where we want to play some meaningful baseball at the end of the year. And
that's
it was
a,
like,
mean Farhan impression.
What?
That's a mean Farhan impression.
But they never wanted to marry themselves to anything that they would be held against. Do you know what I mean?
Yes. They didn't want to, like, set expectations too high.
Exactly, right? It's like, we're always, like, perpetually in the middle, and we're not really rebuilding, but we're not really competing, and we just want to see, what we see.
Well, you know, we'll see, but...
Exactly.
It depends, you know, it takes two to make a trade, and...
The most infamous thing that Davis said with us was, I think at the... Toward the end of the month of July last year, he's like, no, the expectations are to make the playoffs, and anything else would be a huge disappointment. That's what Dave Fleming said to us on this show.
He says that every year, as he should. We're the freaking Giants.
Yeah, but he said it in a way last year. It was like, there will be ramifications if you don't, which is refreshing. The Niners, there's always sense of urgency. Is there not?
Of course.
Okay, for about 10 years, right? The Warriors.
Oh, that's a given.
Right?
Yes.
The Giants, there has not been a sense of urgency since when? Even in 2021, it felt like they were playing with house money.
They did. I mean, they got Chris Bryant in 2021.
Yeah, but did you ever get this
kind of felt
desperation?
Like, nah, 2021 felt like, ugh. The team has been amazing. They're kind of forcing our hand. We have to make a move.
Yes.
Kind of felt more like we got forced to do it.
Yes. I just look at someone like Buster, and I say to myself, like, a guy like Buster, with the competitive fire that he has, doesn't take on a job like this if he's not trying to ultimately treat it exactly the way he did his everyday career, which is, I am trying to win at everything. Like, these guys are competition-aholics, the ones that are the athletes. Like, and it doesn't mean they're going to be great, because there are plenty of examples of former athletes who were great in their sport who could not run a team. Michael Jordan on line one. Mm. You know, Chris Mullin was the GM here. I love Chris Mullin. You know, and we know he's competitive as all hell. Doesn't mean you're going to be the greatest, but the mindset of the sense of urgency, thank God, it's about time. And I also think he sent a message to the fan base and to the guys down in AAA. Again, I'm going to read these names off. There's just not a lot of spots for them. Hunter Bishop, Luciano, Matos, McCray, and Meckler. That's your outfield in AAA. Your infield, obviously Bryce, we don't think he's going anywhere, but you never know. Alcantara, Crawford, Koss, Wisely. I think they're on the verge of some sort of a trade. It's going to happen. Now the question becomes, who is it, how big is it, and is it enough to help them win? But I think that Buster, the time of hoarding picks and players and no sense of urgency, those are gone. Last year, I think Bryce would have stayed in AA with Farhan. Mm. I do. even though they elevated him toward the end of the year, that felt more like a, hey, double A season is ending. We're going to put him in Triple A to get an extra week full of at-bats and, you know, just say that we did it. There's a reason there's a sense of urgency. That's why he's in Triple A, Bryce Eldridge.
I find it interesting that you are you feel strongly that a big trade is coming.
Yes.
A big, and they, time to go means, one, we got to start playing better. Two, now, as in, like, I got to go. Yeah. I got to go make something happen.
Exactly.
You guys got to do stuff. You got to handle your business on the field. I'm going to handle my business up in the front office. I also think what is worth bringing back up is he said something in that quote, in addition to it's time to go, he said, quote, we all believe we're better than what we've been with the bats the last couple of weeks. And no doubt, like, they should be better than they've been offensively.
We all agree.
By a mile. But let me also ask you this, and I think Buster would probably also give you the same answer if you got him to be honest. And we can ask Zach Manassian, GM of the Giants, about this as well. He's joining us in a little more than an hour at 8:30. What should we ask the GM of the Giants? You can hit us up at 888-957-9570. Even if the bats were performing up to your expectation, not saying like they're all having career years, but Chapman, who is getting closer to his career averages, and Adames were hitting at their career averages. Is the offense good enough to make you confident that they can make a postseason run?
No.
They still need help at first base. They need help in right field. They need offense from the catcher.
Can we wait. Postseason run. I want to define that. You mean, like, be in it until the final weekend of the year? Is that what you're getting at? Or you mean, like,
win a series.
Win a series in the playoffs.
Go to the NLCS.
Not good enough to win a series in the playoffs.
So,
no.
So even if, as Buster says, again, we all believe we're better than we've been. Yes. But even if you were performing to expectations, a move is still needed.
Yes.
In other words, is what
I'm
saying.
Absolutely.
And I guarantee you Buster feels the same way.
I completely agree with you.
So I do tend to agree. It feels like if Buster's goal is to win, which it is.
It is.
Then he knows that a move has to be made.
I think Buster has sat back and he's watched, and I think the organization has, because trust me, there's some people that I know that are within the Giants business side that are like, no, but like the reality is like they know where they stand. And I'm talking about stand within.
As in major, in.
No, in relation to the Niners and the Warriors in this market.
Oh, I see.
And they know that their bottom line has been, you know, it's been hit really hard. Whereas a Niner ticket has been one of the hottest tickets on the planet for like 8 years. Last year, not so much, but for the most part, over 8 years. A Warrior ticket has been a hot commodity. They want a Giants ticket to come back to be a hot commodity, you know? And they know that this is also an entertainment thing. And as you look across the dugout, okay, you go from our dugout to their dugout. Think about what they had last night. And at whatever point it was in the fourth or fifth inning when Harrison came out, I think it was the middle of the fifth. Okay.
Yeah.
They go in some order. Tatis, Arise, Machado, Merrill. That's a hell of a lineup in a row.
Yeah.
I mean, how many teams would die to have that middle of the order lineup? And they're right where you are. I'm talking about standing wise. They're not running away with things. You have a really good pitching staff. Really good pitching staff. You might have the lights out closer phenom coming in Randy Rodriguez. He looks special. He doesn't just look good. He looks special. You have two top of the rotation studs. You want to say they're aces? Fine. But studs at minimum. You have a shot as any to make damage with the pitching staff you have. But you need the complementary hitting to strike fear into another pitching staff.
And I also think, I don't know if something's imminent. I would expect something at the trade deadline, assuming things don't bottom out here for the next month and a half. I also think what leads me to believe that the Giants would be willing, and the Giants, I mean specifically Buster Posey, would be willing to part with valuable assets to get a big bat in here. One, it's what we were talking about earlier, which is Buster has, well, it's his first year, and two, he's Buster freaking Posey. He has job security. He can survive a bad trade. Not that you go into any trade thinking it's going to fail, but you know that there's risk involved with every single one of those moves.
Absolutely.
He can survive that. So it's not as if he's fighting for his life today or at this trade deadline. That's part of it. I also think we're at a point where you can very, very easily and clearly see the Giants have First of all, they already have a surplus of pitching. What the hell happens when Verlander comes back? I mean, I know that Kyle Harrison was not great last night. Since he's been in the rotation for Verlander, he's been pretty darn good, though.
No,
he's been pretty good.
He's been pretty good.
And if you're telling me that Kyle Harrison is your fifth starter, like I'm not upset at that.
No, I'm not
really.
Either.
So,
let me also, before you keep going, there is a discussion about he has not lived up to being the number one left-handed prospect lefties in all the minors.
No, he's also still really young, and he has a lot of room to grow.
Sure.
But even right now, given everything we know about Kyle Harrison, if you were to tell me Kyle Harrison is your fifth starter for the rest of the season, I'm not upset at that.
Okay.
I'm not upset at that.
Okay.
I think if you're Buster Posey, you have to be comfortable going into the trade deadline with the assumption or accepting that you're comfortable trading one of Birdsong or Harrison to get somebody.
So wait, you think one of those
you got
two,
too many pitchers.
Yeah.
I mean, Verlander's not a long-term guy, but you have proven over and over and over again you can get pitching. You can find pitching, whether it is developing
it's
it
true.
Yourself. And you got Wisenhunt, who might be ready to go next year. Maybe at the end of it, like, we'll see.
Yeah, well, you got Keaton Wynn still in the AAA who pitched for you last year.
Yeah.
You got Mason Black.
Yeah.
You have other guys, but you're probably right. To get something of significance, you do need to give up probably one of those arms.
I think so. And maybe it's even Wisenhunt as opposed to the other two. I would imagine someone like Birdsong probably has the most value because he's proven the most at the major league level.
I agree.
Who knows, but we'll see.
He's probably the one of the three. Because I've seen him and I really like him, he's the one I'm least likely to want to deal, but he's probably the one that teams
means,
mostly want.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So you'd be more likely to get somebody of value back. So if I'm Buster, I'm heading into the trade deadline with this idea that, one, I'm comfortable taking a risk, two, I know when a move needs to be made to help the offense, and three, we have a surplus of pitching, I have to be comfortable going into the trade deadline saying, all right, for the right deal, I'm willing to trade Birdsong. Or Kyle Harrison or Wisenhunt or whichever of that group of three. But I think you got to be willing to do it because I don't see another way in which you're going to get a difference maker offensively unless one of those guys are included in the deal. You're not trading away Bryce Eldridge to get a bat. That seems counterproductive.
Mm.
Your most valuable assets that you are comfortable or that you have you feel relatively okay moving on from because you have other pitchers are pitchers.
Yeah. No, it's a really good point. They have been able to develop and find pitchers. And then because of the ballpark, you're always going to have a slight advantage on a guy that might be a 50-50 type of a pitcher looks a little better in your organization than he would in someone else's, like Cincinnati, for example.
Yeah.
Because of the pitching situation. I don't know how Giants fans feel about that because walking off the mound yesterday after he got hit in the elbow, it wasn't his worst start. He's not awful, Kyle Harrison. He's not. He's not awful. But he's certainly not the prospect I was hoping him to be. That Bleacher Report, The Athletic, Jason Stark, like pick who you want who breaks down minor league prospects. He's nowhere near the top left-handed starting prospect that we all thought he was.
No. You're right.
And it's just... just kind of sucks. You know, I mean, I'm being real. Like, he was, you know, supposed to help change the organization. And now it's like back-to-back guys, Luciano and Harrison. And obviously...
Those two are on different planes for me.
What do you mean?
What is Luciano's MLB-ready skill right now?
I don't think he has one.
Kyle Harrison is, I mean, at least an average arm right now in the big leagues. Luciano can't
bullpen?
Even... I think he's, I'm telling you, I'd be fine with him as my fifth starter.
Okay.
I really didn't think he pitched poorly at all yesterday. It wasn't as good as he's been in the past, but his previous two starts were pretty darn good.
I hear you, and I know that pitching is at a very, you know, scarce in the league right now. It's the guy that had to get shut down multiple times last year because of pitch limit, right? Like, so he's not really...
throwing 96 this year.
I just look at pitching this way, and... some guys come up and they hit the ground running and they're awesome, right? And those are the special guys. And then eventually maybe they falter or the league adjusts to them or whatever. But some of these other guys, like, and I use Ryan Vogelsong as a great example. Sometimes they got to bounce around a little. and get some scar tissue and some war wounds before they eventually develop into the player that maybe they were projected to be.
Do some searching for a while.
Look at Zach Wheeler. You know, it took a long time for Zach Wheeler to become Zach Wheeler. Sonny Gray has kind of had some ups and some downs, and he kind of tantalizes you with what he could be. He's kind of reinvented himself for a long, long time. Harrison, it's not that I don't like him, and it's not like I don't see flashes. I'm real iffy on him figuring it out here for this team and making an immediate impact, like, in the near future. He could be a useful arm out of the bullpen, but, God, it's just what he represented was so much more than that.
Okay, well, I mean, I'm with you. There's frustration there, but let me just ask you this.
It's deflating, I guess, is what I'm getting at when we have this conversation, because I had so much promise for him.
I'm with you. Okay. We're talking about a prospect, a former highly touted prospect, number one left-handed pitching prospect, not just in the Giants organization, but in baseball, right? Number one left-handed pitching prospect. Has he lived up to that yet? No, of course not. That's a very, very difficult thing to live up to, and he has not yet. I think this goes into everything that we're talking about in terms of being willing to trade your prospects. I mean, I'm not saying you should be comfortable trading Bryce Eldridge, but who the hell has 100% certainty that Bryce Eldridge is going to live up to his hype? It's an insane amount of hype.
None of us can, especially after seeing what happened with Ramos, where he came up, he looked awful, he went down, he came back up, he went down, he went up, like. At no point did anyone think Ramos was going to... I mean, we thought, maybe. Like, you read about him. But when you watched him, I'm talking about when you watched him, did anyone think that he would be their best player basically in back-to-back seasons?
I mean, probably not. Been. No one would have predicted that beginning of last year. No.
I wouldn't have. No. Yeah, I don't think you would have. No. And he's been a revelation. So sometimes guys just outperform whatever our expectations are, and they're awesome. But... yeah, look, I'm around. It is a cautionary tale. Both Luciano and Harrison to not hoard these picks and think that every single one of them, what
like
they are.
Hindsight's 2020. The Giants organization would be better off, and it's unfair. And this is not like it's going to sound like a shot at Kyle Harrison or Marco Luciano. It's not just the reality of prospects.
Yes,
the Giants organization would have been better off if they traded them before they even got to the big leagues.
Probably. It's
you
like
would
driving
have gotten
the car
a whole lot more value for him.
Yeah, it's like driving the car off the lot, right? In this analogy, would you agree? Like,
yeah.
You go buy a brand new car, go to Ceremony Ford, but you go buy a brand new car, and then...
drive
then
it off the lot, and immediately it depreciates.
Absolutely. And that is kind of like some of these prospects. There's no doubt about it.
Buster, be willing to take a chance, right?
Yeah, of the three, Wisenhunt, Harrison, Birdsong. You and I are in agreement. Harrison and Wisenhunt probably don't fetch you what Birdsong would potentially fetch you in terms of value.
Yeah.
Okay.
If you were to tell me that some team out there would be willing to give you, they're interested in all three and they give you the same player back in return, I'd probably first give up Kyle, I guess. Harrison.
Gosh. Just listen to what we're saying, though. Like, the rhetoric around Harrison 2 years ago was so different.
I mean, I'm not
knocking you. I'm
not
going to
say
way.
I've seen Wisenhunt. Not going to say I've seen Wisenhunt pitch in person, but everything that you hear and read seems to be pretty darn good.
Look,
but
he's a De La Salle kid. He's local. I'm pulling for him. I've just been thoroughly underwhelmed, and I feel like I'm crushing the guy. But to your point about Buster, I think the big picture is I don't think any player is untouchable on this team, maybe outside of Bryce.
Well, yeah, so, I mean, you feel like a big trade is coming.
I
you
do.
Feel like what Buster did yesterday and what Buster said yesterday, again, this, Buster saying it's time to go.
Yeah, I mean, it's time to go. I mean, I think we all believe that we're better than what we've been with the bats the last 2.5-3 weeks, and it's time to go.
So you think it's time to go means I'm gearing up to make a big move and make a trade, or at least explore that possibility realistically. I mean, who are they trading? Who are they getting rid of?
I think
they got to get rid of somebody.
I think it's a signal to everyone. Now, you probably... have you ever seen Paid in Full? You ever seen that movie?
I don't think so.
And Get Down or Lay Down, meaning either get your stuff together or you're out of here.
Yeah.
And I think that was to everyone on the roster, whether we're talking about Yastrzemski, guys in AAA, the pitching staff. You know, like Sean Gelly last night. He had a big opportunity to stabilize that game.
He was
yesterday.
Great. He saved the game.
And he's basically telling you, like, I want the was it Brevins? I want his role. Like, that's him auditioning for that role, is it not? He wants the role he had last year, and he wants it back now. The long man.
Yeah.
To be able to come into a game like yesterday where your starter gets knocked out for X, Y, and Z reasons, and then I could stabilize this thing for 2 to 3 innings. And he did. I thought he was excellent.
Here's Bob Melvin postgame on Sean Gelly.
To come in that situation and, you know, not only finish that inning up, but give us two more, and now all of a sudden we score, you know, the runs to put us ahead. Now all of a sudden we got Tyler in the game. So that was as big a contribution as anybody today.
Yeah, that was huge. I mean, it's hard to, I mean, I would need multiple, like, more than my two hands to count all the contributors in the win last night. Like,
yeah.
Everybody that played nearly had a positive impact on that game.
Yeah.
Almost everybody that played.
There's no doubt. And I think that's the two guys he brought in and started. I was shocked to see them start right away. Both made big plays. And I keep coming back to Ramos. I'm so blown away by his development right now and his emergence as an absolute stud. I mean, he's been unbelievable. And that big hit, that clutch moment last night, kind of just cemented. And then his energy, it cemented how I feel about him. But his energy at second base, it was like, finally, someone showing a pulse.
Yeah. I'm with you. He needed that really badly. He gets to second base, and he's like pounding his chest, screaming, let's effing go. Let's effing go.
Let me ask you one more before we go out to the line, because I know people are lining up, fired up by the Giants baseball. Johnny Sanchez, when I say that name, what do you think of?
I think of game 162, 2010, versus the Padres.
I always think about that game, too.
Pitched well and hit the triple.
Yeah.
Remember?
Yeah, and was I think better than the numbers look at it now, but like, it was a better Giant than I think his numbers or his box score or baseball reference page would indicate.
Also, I think of that no-hitter that he threw.
Which was unreal.
Yeah.
It was unreal. I mean, Kyle Harrison is closer in terms of ERA and whip and all those things to Johnny Sanchez's career right now than he is to anything Mad Bum or anything like that. And you know, Johnny Sanchez was a 27th round pick. He came out of nowhere. He was your fifth starter for a long time. And I thought a solid one, you know, but like it's deflating. It sucks. It just does.
It's not the return on investment you were hoping for. At least it hasn't been to this point.
No, and it hasn't met the hype, you know, and that's frustrating. And I'm not trying to pile on the kid. I like him. I'm rooting for him. I'm also not saying that his career's over.
No, it's far. He's so young.
I mean, I referenced Ryan Vogelsong. Like, at one point, he was a dud first-round pick. And then he shows up with the Giants, however many years removed, and was awesome.
Amazing.
And was an all-star. He was awesome and pitched one of the great games against the St. Louis Cardinals in the playoffs that year for the Giants.
Ryan Vogelsong, legitimately one of my favorite Giants ever.
100%. And why he pitched with heart and guile and guts and was better than whatever his physical capabilities were, he maximized his body.
Absolutely.
That's the impression I always have.
Absolutely. Giants win last night 6-5. They come from behind, down 5-0, and they ultimately win the game. The offense scores more than 4 runs in a game for the first time in nearly 3 weeks. One hell of a win. Win of the year. A double of the year. Hit of the year for Elliot Ramos in that 7th inning. It was really, really impressive. Also, we got Zach Manassian, GM of the Giants, coming up at 8:30, so a little more. A little less than an hour from now, all guests at 95.7 The Game appear on the River Islands guest line. Isn't it time for you to discover the islands, River Islands in Lathrop? Let's go out to the phone lines, though. 888-957-9570 as we keep reacting to, the win of the year for the Giants. Up next is Skills in Vallejo.
What's up, Skills?
Hey, good morning, gentlemen. So just real quick, you mentioned Jonathan Sanchez. He threw his no-hitter on one of the toughest days of my life. That was the day that my best friend's dad passed away. So I'm driving down to Monterey to be with him.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
I'm half jubilant, and I'm half just destroyed inside. It was a tough day. Although looking back, I try to make it more of a happy one for Sanchez, but you just dropped that name, and that memory came back to me. But as for last night's game, I'm from Vallejo. Daniel Johnson's from Vallejo. So just between the three of us, I am going to pretend that I know him. That's my cousin for the next 24 hours.
Yes.
Two hits, two runs, and that catch. You guys, Luis Arias, for those of you in the audience who don't know, this is a three-time reigning batting champion, two in the NL, one in the AL. This is not just some guy on the Padres. And I just conceded he was going to have extra bases when he cracked that ball. Mm-hmm. And next thing you know, as I got my head in my hands, just watching the league go away, and next thing you know, Johnson has the ball. I even tweeted out, Johnson caught that ball. It was an amazing play, game-saving play, especially when you consider what happened after that. Good job for Rodriguez to hold it down. And just real quick before I go, just to answer your question about what Posey meant by it's time to go. You have a team to start at 13-5. Yeah, okay, you have a couple losses you can play with. You can get a little cold here. You got a team to start at 28-19. Okay, we're fine. The Dodgers got injuries, and the Padres are fighting each other. The Diamondbacks are cold. Rockies, 2 months to win, 10 games. Okay, fine. But all that's starting to change. These teams are going to get healthy. They're going to put together some win streaks. The Giants can't afford to play around. And I know it's hard for Posey to cut a former teammate. He played with Wade in 21. He referred to him as his buddy in one of his interviews after all the hammer dropped on those guys yesterday. So it could have been easy for him to do, but that's when you take a job like that, you have to put friendships aside. You have to do what's best for the team, for the fans. And unfortunately, Wade, who had that great 21 season and then was up and down, his time, he could not or would not make the adjustments needed to stay in the lineup. And so Dominic Smith is a good player. At least he has been in the past. He's not the long-term solution, obviously. I'm not delusional. But he's done some stuff. He got MVP votes in 2020, so he may be able to bridge that gap to Eldridge. And I'll let you guys go with that. Thank you very much.
Call skills.
Thanks, skills.
Of guys with qualifying at-bats, he was discussing, Luis Arraez and the art of hitting with him. I follow him on Instagram, and he's a big T, hitting off the T kind of guy. We are obsessed, and I hear these people all the time, these broadcasters, and I'm talking about in the media, radio, television, whatever. Exit velo. We lose our mind on exit velo. Let me give you some
launch
of the guys.
Angle.
Yeah, let me give you some of the guys with the worst exit velo in the game right now.
Okay.
These are the top 10. Jose Iglesias, the guy who played third base for the Padres and got hurt. Tyler Fitzgerald, okay. Jose Altuve, who's sixth worst in terms of average exit velo. Wilmer Flores, Luis Arraez. Exit velo doesn't tell if you hit it where they ain't. Exit velo doesn't tell me if you have good bat-to-ball skills. There is an art to putting the ball in play and getting on base. Wade Boggs, Tony Gwynn, Ichiro. These guys made Hall of Fame careers out of taking at-bats and the approach of a Luis Arraez, of a Wilmer Flores. Is Wilmer a great hitter? He is a great hitter. Like, you watch him.
He's been great this year.
No, this year. I'm talking about this year. Yeah, this year. Yeah. And I've talked about this. He goes the other way. He just hits it where you aren't. He'll hit, he'll drop a little flip single in there. Now he'll run into some and he'll hit a home run here and there. But this thing about exit velo, like there's a time and a place. A hard ground ball in between first and second that goes in is a base hit. A line drive where the whole defense is shifted into a certain direction and you pulling it into that same spot time and time again, though looks good on paper. Wow, the exit velo, the barrel rate. Are you on base or not? Right? So I have some pushback on these exit velo obsession, and I just think there's more to the game. We got to, like, talk about the games. When I watch Luis Arraez come up, I'll go, damn it, he's a great ball player. A great ball player. Oh, he doesn't get enough walks. Yeah, he sure seems to get on base a lot, right?
Yeah, and he doesn't strike out a lot.
And that ball he hit, that was a hell of a play by Johnson.
That's one time he actually hits it, like, deep, and he hit it hard off the bat. I don't know what the exit velo was on that one.
Exactly.
But more than most, and ultimately it turns into an out, not the fault of Arraez there. But it takes away from, like situational hitting. 1-2 count. You got a pitch that's, you know, borderline, maybe off the plate away, but you got to protect, and you just throw the head out there, and you a little flare opposite field over the head of the first baseman down for a hit. That a great piece of hitting? Absolutely, that's a great piece of hitting. But if you're solely focused on exit velo and launch angle and all that, that's going to tell you that was a fail. But that was a pristine piece of hitting. What a lot of people are teaching now is instead of doing that, it is 1-2 count. Don't protect. Don't choke up. Don't take something out of your swing. Swing for the fences. And then guess what? You're going to strike out.
Last night, you talked about this over and over. It's second and third with one out, and you have Junghoo Lee up.
Yeah.
I don't care what the exit velo or the barrel rate was. He got a fly ball to go deep enough to where you could score a run.
Yep.
That's baseball. That, to me, is the essence of baseball. And I would also say that's kind of the hallmark of what the Giants want to do. Now, do they want to get the big Ramos double down line? Of course. That's yes. How you're going to win games. But situational baseball, plain solid defense, you know, knocking guys in from third when they get there, whether it's through, a barreled ball into the outfield or a fly ball that's lazily hit out to center field, as long as it gets the job done, it doesn't work. Last night, how about that bunt from Luis Arraez?
Oh, my God. Perfect bunt down the first baseline.
What was the exit velo on that? That was as beautiful. I sent out a tweet, and I mean this with all my core. Keith Hernandez, a great defensive first baseman, and Greg Maddux, who I believe had like a dozen gold gloves as a pitcher. Those two wouldn't have made that play on that bunt. That's how perfect that was last night. That was a thing of beauty.
It was, and it came after a Tatis infield single because his speed put pressure on the play, and he beat it out, and then they've got a rally, first and second, nobody out. The ball hasn't even left the infield. So, yeah, I mean, it's small things like that over the course of a game and definitely over the course of a season that add up. 888-957-9570. Remember, Giants general manager Zach Manassian joins us at 8:30. What should we ask the GM? You can let us know. 888-957-9570.
Was that the win of the night for Giants fans? Is that the one that sucked you in? Do you believe in this team right now? I mean, we all agree, like, they still need to make some moves. They still need to do some stuff. But if you were on the fence when it comes to this Giants team, are you now in? Is your opinion of Ramos changed? I mean, look, we had BPA call in yesterday, and he's like, yo, you know, Ramos, he's not that good. He can't. What about last night? You know, he's been one of their best
Giants. Those are the moments that endear you to a fan base.
Exactly.
And it gives him the confidence to be like, hey, you know what? We go through a struggle again. We can't hit the ball. All right, I'm the guy.
Yes.
I'm the guy, one, to break us out of it. I'm also the guy in the clubhouse to be like, hey, listen up, everybody.
Exactly. It's a coming-of-age moment for the young man.
Yeah.
And then Randy Rodriguez in the ninth. Where are we at with the ninth inning? Like, I'm walking away from that game. I got about 50 things in my head.
It was one of those kind of games.
Dude, Randy is a baller, dude.
He is.
That moment, and then that slider.
Dude, it was no big deal.
Dude, he's just
he
so cool.
He came in. Oh.
It was great. I had all
tying
the faith
run
in the
scoring
world.
Position, one out. Jackson Merrill at the plate, one of the best young hitters in the game. Three pitches, all sliders. See you later, Jackson.
It was incredible. And then, like, Ryan Walker, like, we had a text. Who do you want to see in the ninth? And I knew Duvall wasn't going to play because they don't do him 2 days in a row. They do not put him out there. That's kind of their thing. With their
same
relievers.
With Randy.
But straight up, like, Ryan Walker, like, I've been iffy on Ryan Walker in the ninth all year. Like, heading into the year, Sam and I had this conversation on Garlic Fries and Baseball, guys. And I told him, I'm like, I know he finished strong last year, but like, I just don't. I love him in the seventh, eighth, maybe even the sixth inning in certain leverage situations. I don't love him in the ninth. The ninth is his own beast. And there's something about Randy Rodriguez now. He's a swashbuckler. Like, he's here to stay.
And the Giants will say, and we could ask Zach Manassian about this as well, they will say they don't like to throw Randy back-to-back days, so there it's difficult to make him the closer. They don't like to throw Doval back-to-back days, and he's the closer as well. So I don't know.
And look, Tyler Rogers, how's the leg looking today? How's that knee?
And buckled the knee crazy play.
I mean, he was smiling afterwards, so that makes me feel a little bit better.
But that doesn't mean it doesn't hurt today, right? Like, you just wonder. You just wonder. Look, coming off that mound, it's funky. That's why you have an infielder catch a pop fly in most situations, is because walking around on that mound, you can get hurt.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, but he was still amazing in the eighth inning.
Oh, no, he was great.
The bullpen, I mean, saved the day as well. The offense finally came around.
He had that strikeout of the catcher. Was it Maldonado? It's just,
he
looked so overwhelmed.
I think
it
was Diaz.
It was Diaz. And then I'm thinking
he'd been in the NOS for a while because he's a former Rocky. And familiarity with Tyler Rogers does not matter because he looked like...
He's a good player. He is a good player. Yeah, I like him. I like him a lot. Yeah, you got the Diamondbacks have a nice catcher. You know, they've got a nice catcher, the Padres. We know Will Smith is good. Like, quietly, this is a very good catching division.
From everyone that pitched, like, 2 days ago, 2 games ago, Shasky, everyone that threw from the bullpen, they had off games. Mm-hmm. Like, they struggled. No one but Doval gave up runs. But then they come back out the very next day. Jelly, awesome, 2 2/3 shutout. Rogers, a shutout inning, gave up a hit, but it was on the infield. Ryan Walker, he wasn't amazing. Got an out, didn't give up a run.
Yeah, but I love
a couple
that Bob yanked him.
Yep, and then Randy Rodriguez comes in and shuts the door. I mean,
Randy.
The bullpen bounced back from a rare off day, and they're offense reason number one, but bullpen reason number two, the Giants won that game.
I think Randy is going to represent us in the All-Star game.
I mean, pitchers who have at least 20 innings pitched, number one in ERA. He is the best ERA in baseball.
I love that. That's a great stat. I freaking love that. The guy's just lights out. And it feels like the moment is not too big for him. The pitch clock doesn't bother him. The runners on base don't bother him. Who's at the plate doesn't bother him. I mean, he seems to be very calm.
But for some reason, the Giants seem very, very, very hesitant to use him in the ninth. I mean, you and I, we were all chatting on the show thread. I asked the second the Giants took the lead. This is where my mind goes. They take a lead in the seventh inning. If they have the lead, who's pitching the ninth? And you immediately said Randy. Why didn't they start the ninth with Randy?
I don't know. That's a great question.
They have some...
Yeah,
I don't know. I don't know what it is.
Well, I think it's also they don't want to lose him. I get where they're going. Like, they like Doval in the ninth, but I also think they don't want to lose Randy because he can come in that second and third, one out, seventh inning
situation.
Still
a valuable spot, no doubt.
Which could be the most crucial inflection point of a game.
Yeah.
He might be their best reliever when there's guys on base.
Yes. He can get a strikeout and he can get a pop-up, which are very important with runners on second or third.
Yeah, I'm with you. So maybe they just feel like having that guy is more valuable when you have other guys that you feel pretty good about getting you the final three outs of a game. So there's no doubt that is still a valuable
before
spot.
We go to the injury report, because I'm injured. I have to go to the restroom. I have now drank four separate 17 fluid ounces of water plus. This is my second coffee. This one's, what do you think this is, about 17 ounces?
Yeah, probably.
I'm almost 3/4 of the way to that gallon we discussed yesterday.
Go to the bathroom. It's time for the injury report.
It's time for the injury report.
It really hurts.
Brought to you by Boxer and Gerson, Northern California's premier workers' compensation law firm, helping injured workers get their lives back for over 40 years.
All right, injury report time. The Valkyries, they'll be on the court tonight, but they may be without guard Tiffany Hayes. She had to exit Sunday's loss to the Lynx after being struck in the face. Hayes had just returned from a 3-game absence after suffering a nose injury. She is listed as a game-time decision for tonight's contest against the Phoenix Mercury. That is the injury report brought to you by Boxer & Gerson, Northern California's premier workers' compensation law firm, helping injured workers get their lives back for over 40 years. And what's coming up on the game is brought to you by Fremont Bank, here for you, here for good. It is your calls on the Giants. Win of the year, hit of the year, Elliot Ramos. I mean, we can talk about Ramos. Is he the face of this team offensively? Is it Ramos over Chapman? Is it Ramos over Adames? Is it Ramos over anybody else? Plus, we do have Giants general manager joining us on the River Islands guest line. That's Zach Manassian coming up in a half hour at 8:30. It's the Morning Roast. We continue right after these this break. It's Joe Shasky, Mark Randy with you. I'm in for Spadoni. More next at 95.7 The Game.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Grilling season is in full swing, and Whole Foods Market has the essentials to make summer meals simple, flavorful, and affordable. With great everyday prices across the store, it's easy to build a crowd-pleasing spread without sacrificing quality. The 365 by Whole Foods Market brand offers a wide selection of grilling favorites, like no antibiotics ever chicken thighs, ground beef, wild-caught salmon burgers, and uncured hot dogs. There are also plenty of sides to choose from, including organic salad kits, kettle cooked chips, tortilla chips, and bold zesty salsas. For toppings and marinades, look for organic condiments like no sugar added ketchup and yellow mustard, plus spice rubs and sauces to bring extra flavor. To round things out, pick up sparkling water, organic lemonade, and pints of ice cream, plus organic cake cones for an easy summer dessert. There are so many ways to save on summer grilling favorites at Whole Foods Market.